Today I want to talk about the power of partnership. The power of partnership. 1 Kings chapter 17. Amen. 1 Kings 17. God, I thank you for the wisdom to change the things that I can. You've heard the serenity prayer? The wisdom to know the difference. Amen? Amen. 1 Kings chapter 17. Let's talk about the power of partnership. The power of partnership. Do you have your Bible? All right. I'm really endeavoring to teach in a way that each of us can get from God what we need. He has for us more than we receive from him. One of the wealthiest places in the universe is the cemetery. Because people go there who never lived their potential and never accomplished what they could have. The best ideas have been buried because people did not receive from God what they could have received. And so when we come together, I want to study how to get our needs met. If you need a miracle in your life, and some people need a miracle. Remember, Satan comes to steal the word from you you do not understand. We talked about that in the message a couple of weeks ago. You can get the CD from that. And if you don't understand the power of partnership, you would not have the faith to exercise it. All right? Every section of the Bible is built on the power of partnership. God said, "Let us make man." The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are partners in salvation. They are a divine tag team involved in salvation. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, Jesus says, I am there in the midst. There's a power in partnership. The Bible says one can chase 1,000. But when you put two together, you don't just chase 2,000. Two will chase. There's a power in partnership. If two people come together in partnership, there's a release of power that is greater than what they had before. And the anointing on one partner will be available for the other partner if you get yoked up in partnership. When you hook up in partnership, when you hook up in a ministry, and you should expect this from being hooked up with Spirit of Life. The anointing on that ministry will operate in your own life. Christian living is a demonstration of the power of partnership. It is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I can do all things through Christ's partnership, who strengthens me. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So there's a power in partnership. Point number one, when you are in ministry or you are in partnership with a ministry, you can expect God to take care of all of your natural needs. When you are in ministry or in partnership with a ministry, you can expect God to take care of all of your natural needs. 1 Kings chapter 17, look at it. Beginning with verse number 1, we have Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, and he said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Is that what it says? Verse number 2. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, turn eastward, and do what? Hide yourself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan, for, and it shall be that you will drink of the brook. And then what does God say? I have commanded who? The ravens to feed you where?
There.
There. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, for it is before Jordan. Verse number 6. And what did the ravens do? They brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And where did he drink? He drank from what? Now, the Bible does not hide the fact that God takes care of the needs of the man of God. He had a natural need. What was his natural need? You need something to eat. Stay with me, Elvis. You need something to drink. And when you are in ministry, God is in the business of providing for your natural needs. What did Elijah need? He needed bread, and he needed what? Was God able to provide for his needs? How did God provide for his needs? Huh? He sent the ravens to bring the meat, and he provided the brook with the water with nobody else around. See, you can't understand the middle and the end of the story without understanding the first part. First, God says, I'm going to feed you with ravens. God, being God, could have fed him with manna. I'm going to feed you with ravens. Did the ravens bake the bread? So who baked the bread? Somebody baked the bread, and they made the bread. The ravens came and got the bread, so they put it where the ravens could get it. Somehow God was working with someone else so that you will bake bread, have it out there when my ravens come through. They would get the bread and not eat it, and not mess over it, so the man of God would not want to eat it, would get some flesh, a good piece, not rotting, bring it fresh morning and evening, which means God had to choreograph someone baking bread and an animal dying or being slaughtered in a way that the birds can get it at dinner time. Are you listening to me? With nobody else around. God can get the food into your life or meet your needs any way he wants to do it. And he can meet the needs of a ministry any way he wants to do it. God can meet the needs of spirit of life any way he wants to do it. I will prove it to you today before we leave. He can use the birds or the bees. I remember a ministry that started not long ago from here. The Legacy Building. Do you know what happened when they bought the Legacy Building from the conference? Huh? They bought the Legacy Building. They had a few people like us bought the Legacy Building, and two women would come in off the street with money every time they needed it to pay for the building. Because inside they had the faith to draw on God to get the need met. You're not listening to me. You got to understand, some people have the wrong idea about God. And the idea is God needs me to finance and fund the ministry, and that is not true. I'll say it again. Some people have the wrong idea about God, and if you think I'm talking about you, you're messed up. And if you think you know who I'm talking about, you may be messed up, amen? Some people have the wrong idea that God needs me to fund the ministry, and that is not true. And that is not what is going on in the text. Come on, rise up, Spirit of Life. God can take care of the ministry any way he chooses. I'll say it again. God can take care of the ministry any way he chooses. The issue is not how your giving can bless the ministry, but rather how you rob yourself of your harvest by not blessing the ministry. Oh, it's going to be rough up in here today. And this is not even the tough part. Did you hear what I just said? God would take care of the natural needs of your life. Is that what we said? And that God can meet the needs of the ministry. The issue is not how much can you give to help the ministry. The issue is how much you rob yourself by not ministering to the ministry. You can tell your neighbor, I love you, but God can bless me good without your permission. He doesn't need your permission in order to bless the person sitting next to you. Amen. God can use ravens or whatever he wants to take care of people, to take care of a person, to take care of a ministry with or without your help. So let's clear that up first. God can get it done without me, and God can get it done without you. If you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.
God can use whoever he wants. Sometimes I get stuck in my mind, hear me, that God needs me to finance a ministry when in fact God can use the birds of the air to meet the needs of the people. See, I can't even get stuck in my mind that God needs me to preach. He can have the chairs preach, being God. He can have flies come in and preach and design the words of the sermon all coordinated together, being God. The real issue is not how you can bless the ministry or how you can bless somebody else's life. The real issue is how you rob yourself of a harvest when you don't understand partnership. Did you get that? When you are in a ministry or in a partnership with a ministry, God will meet the natural needs of your life. We're going to read later in the chapter, and you know that part of the story, where the woman fed the prophet. Everybody knows that part of the story. But when we read about that, we already know God didn't need to use the woman to feed the man of God, because he starts off using birds to feed the man and providing a brook for his water. People lose enough money out of their pocket for God to pay all of your bills. People walk around dropping money on the street that if God wanted to, he could have birds go around, pick up all of that money and deliver it to your door. All of your bills would be paid. There's enough money that people have forgotten about. People have hidden money in mattresses, given the mattress to the Goodwill. You got the Goodwill mattress and got upset with a lump because you couldn't sleep. Open it up and found the money in the mattress. I mean, God has all kind of ways of taking care of your needs. People are not the source of your supply. God is. God may use people. Stay with me, please. Your boss is not the source of your supply. God is. They may bring the blessing, but they are not the blessor. You have that? Secondly, people in need the opportunity to give. I know that's controversial. People in need the opportunity to give. People in need the what? Verse number 7, you with me? Thank God, I don't feel rushed. 1 Kings 17:7. It came to pass after a while, what happened? Did God know the brook was going to dry up? Yes or no? Was God behind what was happening with the brook drying up? Because God and Elijah had set in motion, thank you, Lord, had set in motion the drought, right? So he put him at a brook. The brook dried up. Verse number 8. The word of the Lord came to him saying, Elijah didn't move, right? Because the brook had dried up. Because God may have had pelicans to bring water. Are you following what's going on here? I'm waiting on a word from the Lord. The word of the Lord comes in verse number 8. And what does he say? Now, Elijah, now you guys got to get this now. I want you to get up from where you are, and where do I want you to go? I want you to go to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and I want you to dwell there. Behold, I have commanded what? A widow woman there to do what? God, that's unfair. The woman cannot handle my expenses. Why not send me to a man who is gainfully employed? Isn't that how we think? God said, listen, I want you to go there because there's a woman who's not able to feed you that I commanded to feed you. Think with me. Here it is. God gave him a word from the Lord. What is word? You remember, word is seed. So now Elijah is carrying what, everybody? Seed, because he has a word from the Lord. Watch this. Now, God wanted to bless the widow so much that he moved the ministry to her house. You all are not seeing that. God brought the ministry to the widow. Why? Not because she's the only one with the little oil. Not because she was the only one who could provide, because ravens could do that. God choreographed it because he wanted that widow to be blessed. Why? Because she needed a miracle and did not know it. Mm-hmm. The widow would have lost her miracle if she had not been obedient to the voice of the Lord through the man of God. Get what's going on here. God was not in short supply. The ministry of Elijah did not have a need that God couldn't fill. God had already shown he could supply every need. What is God doing here? God is meeting the desires of the widow's heart. Uh-huh. How does God bless people? God is not in the harvest-giving business. God is in the seed-giving business. After he's given you seed, you are responsible to determine the size of your harvest. He is not in the harvest. According to this woman understanding, what was her understanding? Look at verse number 9. Are you there? He says, get up and I want you to go where? The Zarephath. I missed something in my notes. Lord, help me find it, because I want to say it. I missed something in my notes. We'll find it here in a minute. I want you to go to Zarephath in verse number 9, right? So he gets up in verse number 10, right, with the word from the Lord. He gets up and he goes to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, what did he find? A widow. She was gathering what? Sticks. And why was she gathering the sticks? Yeah, he said, I want you to fetch something for me, I pray thee. Give me what? A little water. I want to drink it. I have a need, right? 11. As she was going to get the water, what does he say? He gives her the word, right? Huh? He said, please, or bring me, I pray thee, please, a morsel of bread, and do what? Bring it in your hand. What happens then? She says, as the Lord your God. Isn't that what she says? He's your God. God, help me today. I got it. As the Lord your God. I just got the connection between what's happening here. You see, she does not have faith. When you're in partnership, it's not based on your faith. Because she's saying, as the Lord your God liveth. Uh-huh. She said, I don't have a cake. I got a little meal in a barrel. I have a little oil in the cruse. I'm going to gather 2 sticks that I may dress it for me and my son. We will eat it and we will do what? And your God knows that. But Elijah said unto her, partnership, fear not. Go and do as you have said. In other words, you go and make the cake. If you want to die, fine. But make me mine what? First, and bring it to me, and after that for you and your son. Verse 14, for thus saith the Lord God of who? Israel. The Lord God of who? Israel. Wait a minute. Do you know this woman was not an Israelite? This woman lived in Jezebel's territory. Jezebel was an enemy of God. This woman was 130 miles away from where he was. So God had the prophet go on a six-day journey to bless a woman who was so messed up in her mind that all she could think about was eating her last meal and dying. And God wanted to help her, right? Look at what Elijah says in verse number 14. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, what does he say? The barrel of meal shall not do what? Waste. Neither shall the cruse of oil do what? Fail until the day the Lord sends what, everybody? Listen, so God had him move a ministry to her house. Are you listening to me? Look at how God works. When Adam and Eve gets in trouble, what does God do? Huh? They didn't come to God. Come on, y'all. What did God do when Adam and Eve got in trouble? They took off running. What did God do? He went after them. What is God trying to do today? God is running after you with a word of partnership because God wants to bless you. Real good. Super abundantly pressed down, shaken together, and running over. He wants your cup running over. Please hear this. He moved the ministry over. If you hook up with a ministry that God told you to hook up to, huh? If you hook up with a ministry that God told you to hook up to, God will supernaturally provide for your every need. Y'all don't have to say amen. You don't believe it, and that's all right. Amen? You're not even sure whether or not you can believe it. God puts people together in ministries. Why? Because he's trying to work something out in them as well as in the ministry. And a lot of people jump ship early. Amen. They jump ship before the surgery is over or in the middle of the surgical operation before they're sewn up, put back together again. And the seeds are still on the inside. So they will go somewhere with a harvest, a spirit of life pouring out of them in the wrong setting, and appear as strange fruit. Notice how merciful your God is. He commands the widow woman to do what? Thank you. Somebody's listening. He commands the widow woman to do what? Feed the prophet. Why? So that woman could be blessed beyond her wildest imagination. Stay with me. Take note, this woman is God's plan A. That woman could have refused God. You all read your Bibles? Do you know Jesus talks about this incident? And he said there were a whole lot of widows in Israel that he didn't help. Yes, he does. Jesus said it. There were a whole lot of widows in Israel. I wouldn't even help them. But I sent them to a heathen whose desire was to get more from me. Are you listening to me? Everybody coming to church is not going to get blessed because everybody's not reaching out for something for God. For some people, church is a social activity, which is good. But it's not the best God has for you. Dig into your word. This woman could have said no, and had she said no, she would have missed a blessing. Look at the story. Number one, when you're in ministry or in partnership with a ministry, what will God do? God will provide for your natural needs. Do you know what I mean by natural needs? Food, water, shelter. Those kind of things, right? He provides for your natural needs. The second thing, people in need the opportunity to give. The third thing, there's power in partnership. Look at verse number 8 again. The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, I want you to go to Zarephath. How far away is Zarephath? 130 miles. Amen. They're listening, Lord. Which belongeth to Zidon. I want you to dwell there. Behold, God said, I commanded a widow woman there to do what? Okay, 10. He got up, went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, he saw this widow woman. She was gathering sticks. He said, give me some water. No problem. 11. As she was going to get the water, he said, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. She said, verse 12, as the Lord your God liveth, I don't have a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I'm gathering some sticks that I may go and dress it for me and my son. And what will happen? We're going to eat it, and we're going to die, right? She's going to die then from starvation. It takes, what, 14 plus days. Some people can go longer. Some people can go a long time, a long time. So let's give her 30 days, depending on the fat content of her body and what type of condition she's in, you know, what's going on in those days and times. She's been eating vegetables before, you know, had a good diet and everything. You know, let me leave that subject alone. So anyway, so now she's here in verse number 13. Elijah said, what? Fear not. Go and do as you've said, but make me what? A little cake first. Bring it to me. After that, make for who? For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that seed, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruel of all fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. She went and did according to the saying of Elijah. She and he and her did eat. Some people bring up the issue. She either had more people around, or more people came around, or maybe she was sneaking off just to feed her son so they could die with a full stomach. Scholars have different views about what happened there. But it says here, when she did according to the saying of Elijah, what happened? She did eat, she and he, Elijah, and a house, how many days? Okay, let's back up. Was this a woman of faith? No. She had just enough belief to believe what he said about his God. When you get into partnership, you are not working just on your faith, but your faith is tied to the faith of that ministry. The woman did not have faith to live. And Elijah had too much faith for her to die. And because of the power of partnership, listen, his ministry destroyed the negative harvest of her own words. Her words were, which were a harvest of death, we will die. But now she was in partnership. And the power of partnership overrode the limitations that she was placing on herself with her own words. Her partner gave her faith words, and she acted on faith words. What did the woman say? We will die. I don't have the faith to live. But because she obeyed God in planting a seed in a ministry that had faith in God, her obedience and the faith of the ministry in the word of God kept her alive. Can I say that again? Sometimes we're talking to God, God, I need more faith. And sometimes God carries you in spite of the faith that you have because the people you're connected to believe God more than you at the time where you are. There's life in the word. God wanted to bless the woman, but could not bless her when she didn't have the faith to live. So he began working with her faith in what the prophet said. And what does God do? He connected the woman to a ministry that had faith. Too often we are like the woman. We are quick to say, I don't have enough for myself. How can I give to God? And I want to be quick to say, I agree with you. What you say is right, but it's in the wrong way. By the time we get to the end of the story, you know it. You know the woman had enough food for herself and her son and the prophet. She was right, but she did not have enough for one more person. She actually had enough for a whole lot of people. She was right in the wrong way. You have $35. You look at your $35 and you say out of your mouth, I don't have enough to pay my rent. You are right in the wrong way. Because if you give to God, if you partner with this ministry, you will find that you have more than enough for all of your needs. You don't have $35. In the natural, $35 is not $35. In the natural, every dollar that you keep in your pocket is worth $1.40 because you don't have to go through the effort of getting another dollar to replace it. So already you're above 35. But if you put your money in God's hands and you use it as a seed, your $35 becomes money in the bank. It becomes money in the mail. It becomes healing in your body. Somebody listening to me, either here or later on the tape, you're going to get a call from a friend from years ago. And they're going to make some things right that has been holding you up because of the seed that you have sown. And you're going to write me or call me and say, Pastor, you remember, they called me years ago, and got that thing straight. Because what I had in my hand was not $35. I was holding an abundant future because of the power of partnership. I remember my wife and I recently, we had a need in our life, and I believe it was about $1,500 that we needed or something like that. And we began using the same principle, partnering before God, and I think we just took $10, and that was a stretch at the time, taking the $10 and planting it in a ministry. And as we sowed that seed and began believing God, it was so interesting. We went to the mail, you know, a couple of days back and forth, taking care of our business. And in the process of opening the mail, and it's funny, God's blessings don't come, you know, like everything. It just came like an ordinary envelope that we were both prepared to throw in the trash. I mean, because it looked like it might have been a bill or something, but somebody was writing, oh, yeah, they, you know, whatever, we're going to just throw that away. And my wife said, let me open it, and I don't know if they didn't want us to find it or what, but God is good, amen? They put a check in there, but the check was at the bottom of everything else. And so as we started reading, we found out that months ago, without our knowledge, we had overpaid on something. I think we'd overpaid hundreds of dollars, overpaid, months ago. By that time, another year had passed, but it came in the mail right after sowing that seed. And we ran, bless her heart, my wife was running around the house shouting and crying, and she come on, baby, why aren't you shouting? I'm shouting, baby, I just knew God was going to do it. Because we were following the principle. How could God let us down when we're following what his word says? We were partnering with ministry, not just us, but their faith and ours. And it brought something, oh God, that had been held up for months, right on time. I can still hear somebody saying, Pastor, I don't get the point. I consider myself a partner in ministry. I come to church. I return my tithe. That is all I do. I really need to hear a different kind of sermon today. This is not what I need to hear. You're talking about money, but then you're missing the whole point if you think I'm talking about money. Partnership is more than money and church attendance. True partners obey the word of the Lord. True partners understand Spirit of Life is not about church attendance. Amen. It's about people being taught and led by the Holy Ghost. And true partners are reliable. You can count on them. They are enjoyable. They're not a pain to be with. They are anointed because the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. They are dedicated. They're committed to the work of God. They are intelligent. They study to show themselves approved unto God, workmen who need not be ashamed. Partnership, when it hits this congregation, we will have as many people at prayer meeting as we have at worship service. And worship service will be standing room only with people lining up for an hour on the outside. When partnership hits, everybody within 20 miles of the church will rush in to get the word of the Lord in the middle of the week because they know the power of partnership. But even if you don't have the faith to do all that God is calling you to do, you get hooked up with a ministry of faith. And as they receive from God, then you have the miracle. Now, the first part of the story, what happened? The ravens fed the man of God. The second part of the story, what happened? The woman fed the man of God. The first part, what happened? The ravens fed the man of God. Then God told the man of God to move 130 miles over so that what? The widow could now feed you. Why? But what happened next? What happens next? Yes. After she fed him, what happens next? They ate for many days, and then what happened? She? What son got sick? Her son got sick when? After many days. So when the man of God showed up, her plans for her son was death. The man of God shows up to bring a pause in that situation. The son, the Bible said, got to the point where there was no breath in him. He died. And the woman turned to her partner in ministry. So then God sent the man of God there, not just for the woman, but for her. She did not know that she needed that miracle. She needed resurrection before the time of resurrection. Are you listening to me? How many people had been resurrected in the Bible before that time? Go back and count it out. How many people? But God loved this woman enough that he sent her. Let me ask you, is the life of your child worth a piece of bread and a little oil? Is the life of your child worth you obeying God? You don't know what's happening many days from now. But because of your obedience and your partnership in ministry, when the time comes, and what did she do when she went to the man of God? She didn't go to the man of God and said, I believe God is going to help me. What did she say when she went to the man of God? She said, God is getting me and punishing me for my past. Read your Bible. Are you reading? Where is it? What? Verse number 18. It came to pass in verse number 17 that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, what happened? He fell sick. Did God know he was going to be sick? Did God know it before the drought that the brook was going to dry up? So God picked out the person to receive the miracle. And had she not given to the man of God, guess what? There would not have been the power of partnership to save her son when he went into his sickness. When he got sick, did she have faith? What did she say in verse number 18? She said to the man of God, what have I to do with you, O thou man of God? You are come to do what? Call my sin to remembrance. And you came around to do what? To slay my son. No faith in God. Bothered by guilty conscience. Your children get in trouble, and what does the devil do? He begins to pound
tied you down day after day, day after day, day after day. But when you're yoked up with a ministry, that ministry will believe God for you and your children and will see things in you that you don't see in yourself. Look at what happened there. And what does Elijah do? He said unto her, give me your what, everybody? Was her son alive? So give me your dead dreams. Give me your dead desires. Give me your dead hope. Come to church dead. And by the power of God, we'll raise the dead week after week after week after week after week. Hallelujah. We're not going to stop preaching until everything in you is what God wants in you. That's what church is about. God calls you to church to give you today what you're going to need for tomorrow. When she met the man of God, did the man of God come in her house and say, you know what? I'm going to raise your son from the dead. How did he say it? He said, give me something to eat. In those words were the resurrection for her son. In those words were the resurrection for her son. God is not in the business of giving harvest. He's in the business of giving seed. Somebody needs to just obey God, even if you don't have much faith in him. Believe what I'm telling you about God, if you're not ready yet to believe God. And God has said, you can check him out and prove it. Your behavior today determines what you will have tomorrow. The enemy always says you cannot give. You're giving up your security. There are times when God says, listen, what you have in your hands is not enough to meet your needs. Turn it into a seed. The only way for God to multiply her little bit was for her to get it into the hand of God. How was her son resurrected? By a piece of bread. Y'all missing that. See, people are skipping over to the main miracle where Elijah was over the child and say, God, you got to do this. But why? Because we are in partnership. This woman has sown into my ministry. God, you have used her to keep me alive. Now, God, use me to keep her son alive that she is not even sure she deserves the miracle of. God, I'm not even sure my son should be off of drugs because you know how I messed up. Maybe you're punishing me by taking my child. Oh, don't tell me I'm off track. I've been to too many funerals where I've heard the parents say, God is getting me back. And I've had to tell them, God doesn't have to get your child to get you back. It's like he missed you to get your child. Well, God want to get you, he'll get you. But you got to yoke up in partnership and draw on God. Was the boy dead? No breath in him. And the Bible said the man of God stretched out and prayed. 21. He said, oh, Lord, who's God? Oh, Lord, who's God? Oh, Lord, who's God? I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And 22, the Bible said the Lord heard what? The Lord heard what? And the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. Elijah took the child, brought him down out of the chamber of the house, delivered him unto his mother, and Elijah said what? See. And then the woman said, verse 24, now by this I know what? And that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is true. After God had taken care of her many days, it wasn't until that other thing showed up. Please don't misunderstand. I'm not saying my prayers are better than yours. Don't misunderstand that.
I'm saying that sometimes God requires me to pray beyond even my faith. Are you listening to me? When I come in church, when I come in church, and the saints are here in Sabbath school, I walking through the day, I begin talking, God, you cannot let them down. Are you listening to me? You have to meet their needs. They cannot go through life struggling. That begins to be my prayer. Whether you're praying or studying at that time, that begins to be my prayer. And we yoke up together in partnership. And God has said, oh, where two or three are gathered together in my name? Huh? We yoke up in praise and worship. Whether you feel like praying or not, I'm going to praise him. With all the blessings in my life, I'm going to praise him for overflow in your life. My greatest joy will be to see you free in every area where you want it. That's the power of partnership. Not many days from now, the other stuff will come up to the surface. And God has already taken care of all the other stuff by what you do today. We can relieve the burden of guilt. Yeah, we failed as parents, yeah. God handles that. We can leave the burden of the past, but we can yoke up together.